Powell's been a friend of this church for a long time. We're happy to have you back. May the Lord bless you.
It has been too long. You know, the young brother is a reminder that, you know, sometimes as much faith as we old Baptists have, sometimes we'll do things like look around and say, where's the next generation preachers going to come from? We know the church has been here for 2,000 years and the Lord's been calling ministers. He does. He's called faithful ministers. He's equipped them. He's given them his spirit. And God, through that, has perpetuated his church. And he will until he comes back. There's not going to be a 7-year period where the church is not here. Church is going to be here until the Lord Jesus comes back, and he's going to provide for it. You know, I've opened a few of these type of meetings before. I don't recall ever closing one. It's a different kind of challenge. You know, when we tell some, as a Primitive Baptist, when we tell someone we're going to a fellowship meeting, that requires a bit of explanation. You're going to hear how many preachers? And you're going to sit in church services for 3 days? They don't know why they miss, do they? But you know, in a way that's sad. Because we do have a treasure here. And we should never take it for granted. Yeah. You know, we preachers, we talk about faith, and we should teach about faith. We appreciate Brother Marty's message this morning on faith. We tell you, you shouldn't be afraid. And sometimes we're afraid. Sometimes you get afraid right here, you know. We mean it when we ask for you to pray for us when we get up here, because this is the loneliest place on earth if you're here alone. But you know, we also tell you not to worry. But you know, preachers worry. And the one thing that preachers worry about the most are sheep. We worry about the sheep. And we worry about the little lambs. You know, the Lord told Peter, you know, feed my lambs, before he told him to feed my sheep. You know, why? Look at this meeting, and I think of the, you know, people say, well, what's the theme of the meeting? Well, headquarters has not told us that theme yet. But you know, God always seems to have a way in these meetings to provide that thing, to provide that message, to provide a, if you will, a continuity through the messages. And I believe we've had that here today. But if I had to give a description of the theme of this meeting, it would be, as one of the preachers quoted Timothy, and I can't quite perfectly quote it, but Paul telling Timothy to press on.
Yeah, I agree with that.
To press on. We as pastors, you as parents and grandparents, and some of you have great grandchildren, you can't help but look at the change in the world in the last 20 years. Now, we can go back further than that, but the rapid pace of change in this millennium has just been astronomical, and not in a good way. If you begin to read and to study, I've been trying to venture out and do a little more reading on world events and the direction of things, and it's concerning. Brother yesterday preached about the fact that we live in the end time. Brother Lonnie very eloquently talked about the fact that this is the last age of time, the very end of time. And but you know, I don't want either you that are parents or grandparents, but specifically you young ones today, to go away afraid of the future and of the idea of that the Lord Jesus Christ may soon be coming back. It's impossible to look at the world and see that the world is not, the world is becoming more and more hostile toward the church, toward God's word in particular. But I want to leave you this afternoon with a little assurance that whatever is before you, God will provide.
Amen.
I'd like to talk to you this afternoon about two remnants. Two end of age remnants. No, I'm not. These are not remnants from in the future. They may have a shadow in the future. But they're found in the end of the age of the kings of Judah. In reality, the narrative that we're going to go into this morning is after the last king of the natural kingdom of Judah. It's the days of Jeremiah. Jeremiah has been quoted from during our meeting. The fact that, you might recall one of the brethren talked about the fact that Jeremiah spoke to the king, he spoke to the king and the words of the Lord, and he took his penknife and slashed it and he threw it in the fire and burned it. You know, as preachers, sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes you get the feeling, you wonder, is anyone listening? Is anyone listening? Now, before we finish, God willing, I'll show you. But Jeremiah, I believe, indeed had someone listening. It wasn't everyone. They were a remnant. The scriptures talk a lot about a remnant. Remnant is a beautiful doctrine in the scriptures. There are many remnants that are mentioned. But I want us to also realize that when the scriptures talk about the remnant, they're not talking about the elect of God altogether. The elect of God are described as being as the sand of the sea and the stars of the heaven. They're seen in Revelation as being a multitude that no man can count. But yet Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. He's not talking about that effectual call that you and I have been taught that is regeneration. That when the Son of God calls you by name, calls you into life, you're going to come. And there's going to be, there has been and there will be a vast multitude. But yet he speaks of a remnant. A remnant is a portion. If you have a couple of teenage boys at home and you put a freshly baked apple pie out in front of them, when you come back, you'll find a remnant. That might be, that remnant might just be crumbs. But it's a portion. It generally carries the addition of a small portion. Here we have two remnants. But you know, just because a group is small, just because they are a remnant, doesn't mean they're a faithful remnant, which is what Jesus was referring to. The faithful disciples, many are called to gospel obedience, but few be that are willing to lay down everything and be a disciple of Jesus Christ. We turn now to the book of Jeremiah. I want to just pick up one verse to kind of, in verse chapter 40, to kind of establish a little bit of our narrative here. And in Jeremiah 40, verse 9, it says, "And Gedaliah, the son of Achan, the son of Shaphan, swear unto them and to the men, saying, Fear not to serve the Chaldeans, dwell in the land, and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you." Now let's go down to the very last verse of the following chapter, verse 18. "Because the Chaldeans, for they were afraid of them, because Ishmael the son of Nethaniah had slain Gedaliah the son of Achan, of whom the king of Babylon had made governor of the land." This governor who had, by the providence of God, God had already declared judgment upon Judah. That declaration had gone all the way back to the days of Isaiah, when the Lord declared to Isaiah that he was going to allow the children of Judah to be carried away for 70 years into captivity. And he also gives them the prophecy that they will return. They'll come back. My wrath will not be upon the children of Israel forever. Yet in this last times, God has sent a servant. God has sent Jeremiah. And Jeremiah has faced seemingly nothing but rejection. And at one point, he'd been thrown into a pit. They've tried to kill him. Now these things have come about. Judah's been destroyed. Most of the people have been carried away into Babylon. We're going to see some of them in a little bit. But we have another remnant here. The ones that are about to be described are a mixture of men and women, children, a few military leaders, a few soldiers, themselves identified as a remnant of the chosen people of God. But they were afraid. "And all the captains and the forces of Joham and Koresh and Jezaniah and the son of Hoshiah and all the people from the least even to the greatest came near and said to Jeremiah the prophet, let we beseech you our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray unto us unto the Lord thy God for even all this remnant. For we are left, we but a few, and many of thine eyes do behold us. that the Lord thy God, they're saying to Jeremiah, the Lord thy God, they're giving acknowledgments to Jeremiah here that he's the messenger of Jehovah, that he is that the Lord is his God, and he speaks to him. And they're saying, Jeremiah, we want you to speak on our behalf. Then, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein that we may walk and the things that we may do. Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray to the Lord, your God, according to your words. And it shall come to pass, whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back. So how good are the Lord? I'll ask him on your behalf. I'll ask him what he would have you to do. I will ask him, in a sense, to bless you. And I'll hold nothing back that he tells you. I tell you that one of the biggest problems in America today is that the ministry has held back the truth of God's word.
That's right.
And God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Yep.
Then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be true and faithful witness between us. For we do not even all the things of which the Lord thy God shall send us. Whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee. That it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. You see, he's our God. We're talking about revival time. The brother preached about Holy Ghost revival. They, it seems like that they were in for a mighty revival. They were they were finally turning back their hearts to God. You know, Matthew tells us on one occasion that the men had that followed Jesus, but Jesus did not commend himself to them because he knew what was in the heart of man. Here's a remnant. They say, Jeremiah, whatever the Lord instructs us to do, we're going to do that. So Jeremiah prays. And it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. And then called Jotham, the son of Keresh, and all the captains of the forces that were with him, and all the people, from the least even to the greatest. And they said unto them, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom ye sent to present your supplications unto. Here's the message. One of the most beautiful offers of grace you'll find in the Scripture. In the next few verses. If ye will still abide in this land, then I will build you and not pull you down. I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and deliver you from his hand. And when I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy unto you and cause you to return to your own land. That seemed to be what they wanted.
Yeah.
Or that should have been what they wanted. Amen. To return to the land. As a brother spoke this morning about the children of Israel wanting to go back to Egypt. That's what these people had in mind. They were ready to go to Egypt. They felt like that to go down, and, if you will, and to compromise with the world. To go to land that that your forefathers had been delivered out many hundreds of years ago by the mighty hand of God. And now you're ready to flee there for safety. But God said, if you'll stay, if you'll repent, I'll build you up and not tear you down. I'll plant you. You'll grow. You'll prosper. Yes, these are dark times. This is the end of the time for them. The temple has been destroyed. The worship of the Levitical law in the sense of the temple worship has come to an end. A vast majority have been carried away into Babylon. Their king is dead. But God says, return unto me. I love you. You're my children. You're my elect. You're my redeemed. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon. I will show mercies unto you. What more could you ask? But you know that wasn't all the message. That's if.
Yep.
If you'll trust me. If you'll worship me. If you'll put away your false gods. And serve only me. That doesn't say there in this passage, but he'll get down that a little later. Time's not going to permit to go into all of that. But if. Sometimes, you know, the buts in the Bible are sometimes a good thing. This is not a good one. But if you say, I will not dwell in this land, the promised land that God had promised their forefathers, neither obey the voice of the Lord, saying no. It's never a good idea to say no to God. But we will go into the land of Egypt where we shall see no more war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger for bread, and there will we dwell. And now, therefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, If ye wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt and to sojourn there, then I will. It shall come to pass that the sword which you feared shall overtake you in the land of Egypt, and that the famine whereof ye were afraid shall follow you and close after you there in Egypt. And there ye shall die. See, God knew what was in their heart.
Right.
See, this remnant had already determined what they wanted to do. And they wanted God's blessing. To God say, yes, you go down there and I'll look after you down there. You know, many times we have a plan what we want to do, and we just want God. We pray to God, God, you certify what I want to do. You bless what I want to do. But God says, no, here's where your blessing is. Here's the land that I've given you. Here's the land of which I establish my presence in your temple. Here's the land which the Messiah will come one day. Your ultimate king. Yes, your kingdom is ended. But you as a remnant can continue on here. And I will show you mercy. But you see, they really weren't repentant. Now I said these are last days. The last days of Judah. We live in the last days of time. I don't know what is before us. But I tell you one thing. God is able to provide. God is able to provide you mercy. As we said, we worry about the young ones. When I see the direction the world's going, I know these old gray hairs are not going to be here all. But you know, we really shouldn't worry. We should be comforted in the fact that God is in control. And if we will be faithful unto Him, He will provide us even when we're in the land of our enemies. Even if all the world hates us, if God loves us and God is pleased with us, has been preached this weekend. We don't have to fear.
That's right.
We may be a remnant. We may be few. We may be weak. We may be among the few faithful to our left. You know, the faithful remnants, there's, as with all the two components to the why there's a faithful remnant. Jesus said to Elijah, when Elijah fled for his life, he was afraid that he was about to be destroyed. He says, you know, the Lord, they've killed your prophets. I'm the only one left. The Lord says, I've reserved to myself 7,000 have not bowed their knee to Baal or kissed his image. That tells me God is sovereign in providing Himself a remnant. But you must remember, it's a faithful remnant. And we have a choice. We have a choice. How will we face the difficult times that are ahead of us? Are we gonna turn to the world? Are we gonna turn to the spiritual Egypt, if you will, to look for the world to deliver us? Look for politicians to deliver us. Look for some program to deliver us. Are we gonna conform to the world? Go along to get along. Or are we gonna play part of the faithful? Oh, indeed, they go down to Egypt. And their detriment, they drag Jeremiah along with them. I'm sure he went screaming and kicking. They carried, you know what Jeremiah did? He kept preaching.
Right.
He kept prophesying. He kept bringing to them the word of the Lord. He calls them down there. He says, you know, the Lord's going to destroy you. He says, but if you return to God, you quit offering incense and sacrifice, cake offerings, as it's called, unto the Queen of Heaven. You know the Queen of Heaven? You know, I've had Most struggle this weekend with names. But she is known to them as, help me, brother. But anyway, she's the Ashtaroth. Yeah. Kept wanting to put an I on the beginning of it. Ashtaroth, the queen of heaven. She would later be known as Venus, Diana. And in the Roman church today, sadly, by the name of Mary. Yes, they call her the queen of heaven. They put her over Jesus Christ. He says, you turn from worshiping her. And we will not. He says, while we were worshiping Ashtaroth, the queen of heaven, we were prospering. So we were doing well. We had food on our tables. We had peace in our land. We had prosperity. You see, through all this, they were attributing the blessings they had to a false god. Yeah. The Lord was their God, but He was not the God that they were serving. Right. Is this the remnant that we want to be a part of? Let's look at the year of the remnants. They're living here at the same time period. They've been carried along to Babylon. We turn to Daniel chapter 1. Now, beginning with the first verse, in the year of the reign of Jeroboam, that was the name of the king I was trying to remember a little early. Jeroboam, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, upon Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, into his hand. And the part of the vessels of his house, the house of God, which he carried in his land of Shinar to the house of his God. And brought the vessels into the treasure house of God. And the king spoke to Asphaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, of the king's. There's a lot in that king's. We won't be able to go into it all. And of the princes. We're going to find here a faithful remnant. In the end times, in a hostile country, in a place where the leaders don't believe in our God, their God. Children of whom have no blemish, who are well favored, who are skillful in wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding and science. And such as have the ability in them to stand in the king's palace. And whom that they might teach and learn the tongue of the Chaldeans. The brightest and the best. But those of the royal family. This remnant are children of the king. Maybe not Jehoiakim, but of the line of the kings. He is a remnant, brothers and sisters. And I acknowledge that I'm talking to a remnant this afternoon, a faithful remnant. But you know, we're not guaranteed to always be faithful. We're going to have to put forth, make a commitment to remain faithful in the very dark times that are in. And the king appointed the daily provision of the king's meat and of wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years that they that in the end there that they might come before the king. Now, among these children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Ahaziah, and unto the prince of the eunuchs gave names to them. Daniel, he gave the name Belteshazzar, and Hananiah, Shadrach, and to Mishael, Meshach, and Azariah, Abednego. He's given them new names. He's trying to change their identity, trying to get them where they think like Babylonians.
Right.
Now God in His providence have brought them to the point. The other remnant wants no part of going away into captivity. But you see, God had already declared that this was His judgment. In the time to come, their judgment's already coming upon this world. And we'll be here, or some remnant of God's people will be here as faithful servants. There'll be multitudes of them, but there'll be a remnant that are faithful. If we're here, will we be of that number? Are we willing to pay the price? What's the price? The price is not to compromise
right.
with the world.
Yeah.
Knowledge that God's in the matter and that the powers of be ordained of God. This is something that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they understand. That Nebuchadnezzar was ordained of God now to be their king. He was their king. But they were not going to compromise. You see, sometimes, as we said, sometimes we think no one's listening. But I believe when these four young men had been listening to someone declare the word of God, declare God's will, declare God's judgment, and declare and call God's people unto repentance, and they were there. Subject to their king, but not willing to compromise what God has called them to be.
Yeah.
Might change your name. Might change their location of where they live. Might change much of their style of living. But they weren't going to change them from being servants of the living God. But Daniel proposed that in his heart he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor the wine that he drank. Therefore, he requested that the prince of the eunuchs that he should that not defile himself. Now God brought Daniel into favor. You see? How are you going to survive if these are the end times? How are you going to survive in a God-hating world in the last days and still be faithful to God? Because God is able to grant favor to even to the evil men. You want one thing that I learned from the scriptures? Evil rulers don't trust other evil men.
Right.
You can't do it. You got to have some good people around. Where are the good people? They're God's people. God is able to bring you into faith. God's able to build a hedge around about you. Now these I'm going to try to paraphrase him here because I don't want to go too long. And so we're not going to eat. We don't want to eat of the king's table. It may be unclean. It may have been sacrificed to idols. It may be contrary to the law that God has given us by the hand of His servant Moses. And our people have already disobeyed our God to the point He's brought us into captivity in this land. But we're going to be faithful. We may be a few. We may be eunuchs. We may be servants to another king. We may be living in a far land. But we're going to serve our God. So they make a deal. If you just, you try this, I believe they say for 10 days. And if we don't look healthier in 10 days than we do today, then we'll eat the king's meat. You know, there's a lot of people who wants us to become vegetarians. I don't embrace it. But you know, if it meant being true to God, I'd go to eating vegetables. I'll eat what God in His providence provides. And God provided. God built them up. The promises that God had made to the first remnant, if they would just stay in the land of Judah, God now makes to these that have been carried away against their own will. You may be carried places that you don't want to go. You may be made to do some things that you rather not do. But the one thing that we cannot do is compromise on thus saith the Lord.
Right.
This word never changes.
Amen.
This word is preserved. And God is able to provide for us in this dark time. Now let's look at this room. You know, God gives them. God lifts them up that they become and says that he said in verse 19, the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they stood before the king. There was none of these heathens that were more profitable to the king than these. Yes, they were Jews. They were God's chosen people, and they didn't serve the same gods as Nebuchadnezzar. But God was with them. They were a faithful remnant. But you know they were hated. You're going to be hated. If you're faithful to the Lord your God, if you're faithful to His Word, you're faithful to His kingdom, you're going to be hated.
Right.
Jesus said, marvel not that the world hates you, for it hated me.
Right.
Does it still hate Jesus?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Are we going to be faithful? Are we going to be part of the remnant? When Jesus comes back, He says, when the Lord of the Son of Man returns, shall He find faith on the earth? Well, I found faith being exhibited, utilized, exercised, as the brother said this morning. I believe He will. The question, if we're living, will we be one of the faithful remnant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't have time to go into both of these, Daniel's experience, but we'll discuss for a little bit the experience of these three Hebrews. You know, these were probably young men between 15 and 20 years of age. They weren't little children. They were coming to the age as young men. Solomon says, remember the Lord in the days of thy youth. They were remembering the Lord in days of their youth. They were not following the example that their fathers for generations to do in idolatry. Now it would have been, from a human standpoint, it would have been very easy to go along and to worship the false gods of Babylon and have everyone like them. But as the brother said, they wouldn't have been known to please God. In chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar decides he's going to build an image. He's going to build an image to his God. And he's going to have everyone worship that image. That's a problem. They must be faithful. But they got people watching. Well, when you get to looking at the technology that they want to observe us with in the future, it's scary. But the world is always watching. They're always looking to trip up the people of God. And then when the time comes, go down to verse 10. It said, and the king has made a decree that every man shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sawbuck, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whosoever falls now not to worship, that should be cast down into the midst of the fiery furnace. And there were certain Jews. Certain. Some of our brethren of faith-lived years took that term, certain people. God has a certain people. These certain people in this case are a faithful remnant. They're small in number. But they're By the hand of God, they're being preserved. And, you know, they're having influence. You know, you wonder, how can we have a influence in an evil world? God can cause you that. He can give you that ability. And there were certain Jews who set over the affairs of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship thy golden image that thou hast set up. And then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and his fury, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and then that they were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do you not serve you my gods and worship the golden image which I have set up? Skip down for a moment, down to 16. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. You know, you're the king. You're powerful. But there's one that's more powerful than you.
Right.
And he's the God that we serve. And he's told us we're to serve and we're to worship him alone. And we're not going to worship your gods. If it be so that God whom we serve, he says, is able to deliver us out of the fiery furnace. They weren't doubting that God could deliver them out of the fiery furnace. They said, we know he's able. We know he can deliver us. We're here in this pagan land before a pagan king who wants us to bow down to a golden image. And we don't know if God is going to deliver us from this fiery furnace, but we know one thing, King, he's going to deliver us out of your hand.
Amen.
Right. We're going to be faithful.
Yeah.
We're a remnant. Of course, you know, Daniel faced a similar circumstance. They weren't to worship anything but the king. They weren't to pray to anybody but Darius. It says that Daniel knew. He knew what had been declared. What does he? He goes back as he always did. He opens his windows toward Jerusalem, and he prays to the Lord his God. In that case, you know, Darius was sympathetic. He was remorseful, he was. Because he loved Dan. He came to recognize that God was with Dan. See, they may not. Some men that may not appreciate your God, but they may appreciate the fact your God is with you. And that your God blesses you. And what a witness in the last days. Of course, we know is just as the three Hebrew children were delivered out of the fiery furnace without even the smell of smoke. Why? Because Jesus Christ was with them. As the brother pointed out, God was with them. The Son of God was there in the fire. And God closed the mouths of the lion. Yes, we with those three Hebrew children. Basically, they're saying, you know, King, we may die as martyrs in the cause of our God. We may die in his name. But the worst thing can happen is he's going to deliver us out of your hand into his eternal.
Right.
We're going home.
Yeah.
There ain't no more you can do to us. And so it's been throughout the ages. That which we may experience in the and at least sometime in the future, and persecution, but it's coming. It's coming fast. But as one of the brothers said, it's nothing. It's not been suffered before by faithful remnant of Jesus Christ. Faithful ones will proclaim the gospel when it was against the law to proclaim the gospel. That would the faithful apostles were willing to die for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ when their course had been run. John, who would live to a ripe old age, you know, but they tried to kill him. History tells us they threw him in a vat of boiling oil. And like those three Hebrew children, he came out and the world may not understand how God delivers you. They might not even understand why a person were willing to die for the cause of Christ. They're willing to lay down their life. But it's not, it will not be something new. It's something Nero took multitudes of Christians. He lit his garden by burning them as they were nailed to crosses. Multitudes have died through the years. The freedom from persecution that we've had in America has been a rare thing in the history of the church. But you see, America, God's people. See, remember that remnant, that first remnant we talked, they were God's people. The Lord was their God. They were the chosen people of God. But they were willing to compromise the world. They weren't willing to trust the Lord their God, neither to deliver them out of the hands of Nebuchadnezzar or to bless them with prosperity. You see, it's God's people in America that have turned from Him. The wicked have always rejected God. But will God's people? My question, I'll leave you with the fact, don't be afraid to be one of the few. Don't be afraid to be hated by the world. Don't be afraid to be laughed and mocked and falsely accused. Don't be afraid to stand up and say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I believe that God created the earth in 6 days. I believe that that in the days of Noah, that God destroyed the world and He's coming back to destroy it again. Don't be afraid to say that I believe that God came into this world and took upon the became incarnate, that walked this world as a man named Jesus. Don't be afraid to say that I believe He died on the cross for my sins. Don't be afraid to say that I believe on the third day He rose again. Don't be afraid to say He ascended back on the high. Don't be afraid to say that whatever the world may have in store for me, that Jesus Christ is on the throne of heaven and He's on my side.
Amen.
And He's my Savior. Don't be afraid to say with Paul, me to live as Christ and to die as gain. We can have that comfort, knowing that God is on our side. Thank you for your attention.
Amen.